Good evening. Welcome to our annual candlelight service here at Seminole Church. We are glad that you're here tonight, especially if you're out from out of town. I have some guests and relatives of family members and church members here at Seminole Church. So we're glad that you were able to join us as we look forward to not only Christmas Eve, but also tomorrow, Christmas Day, and as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. Just a couple of announcements tonight, or a couple of words of instruction, if you would. Following along on your bulletin, you will notice that the choir is with us, obviously. They're going to be singing a special selection tonight in the course of the service. We also have Grace Giuliano with us, who is often with us once per month at least, playing the stringed instrument. She'll be playing a couple of selections on the cello this evening as a special part of our service. And incidentally, during the second selection that she plays, and that'll be after the homily, and right before we sing Silent Night, that's when our ushers will come forward and we'll light the candles, which hopefully you obtained one when you came in tonight as you were welcomed by our ushers. So be sure to get a candle if you don't have one, and we'll be lighting them at that point. Also, something I always need to mention every single year, make sure that only those candles that are not lit get tilted. In other words, for the person who's holding the candle that is lit after the ushers light your candle, let the next person tilt their candle. Don't tilt your candle if it's lit, because then we end up with a mess of wax on the floor that we'll have to clean up later on. So we want to try to avoid that at all costs. So at any rate, keep that in mind. Also, be sure to drop off your candles in the bins at both exits at the end of the service. So you can do that, and that'll be helpful to us as we put these things away. Also, our associate pastor, Danny Dalton, will be speaking tonight. And I'll be leading the liturgy as we worship God and as we go through the Christmas story. Don't forget, tomorrow we will worship as usual on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. as we celebrate the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ and His birth on a special Sunday morning service. So we'll look forward to that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Now, without further ado, I ask you to turn off your cell phones and also other electronic devices that may cause a distraction to you or perhaps a worshiper next to you. And let's seek the face of Almighty God as we listen to His Word, as we hear the beautiful music of Christmas, as we hear the message preached. Let's seek our great triune God who's made Himself known in the baby in a manger, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do that now as we begin our service by listening prayerfully to the prelude. Our call to worship is inside of your bulletin. It is responsive. I'll read the light print. You respond by reading the dark print. It came upon a midnight clear. And when the fullness of time came forth, Mary gave birth to the Messiah. The little Lord Jesus had no crib for a bed. The God of the world was born in a stall. And yet this baby born in a manger will save us all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We ask now that you would set this time aside for us, that we might seek your face and worship, and that, Lord, you'd get all the praise and the glory and the honor through our feeble efforts as your redeemed children. Father, bless our service. We humbly invoke your blessing upon it now. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Luke 1, 26-38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over his house, the house of Jacob, forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 196. "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Let's stand as we sing all the verses of this hymn.
Jesus, be seated.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's remain seated as we turn to number 213 and sing, What Child Is This? Luke 2, 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's take our hymnals once again and turn to number 211, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Let's stand together as we sing number 211. Be seated. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called the people together, all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you can find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, good evening. Merry Christmas. Wonderful to gather together in the evening to hear the scripture read of the Christmas story, stories that we've heard so many times before, but good to have them brought before us again and to sing these hymns that have the beautiful story of the gospel message. I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like to be one of the shepherds out there that night when the angel came and said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." What a beautiful summary of the Christmas message. You have a Savior, which also implies you need a Savior. And it's when that message takes residence up inside of you, it is life transforming, and it gives you a hope that never, ever can leave you the same. It just can't. It's impossible for you to remain the same when you encounter the gospel message. For many, Christmas Eve is always an exciting and a joyous time with great family traditions, carols, perhaps hot chocolate, lots of goodies. Time seems to slow down and great memories are formed. I'm sure there are many children out here tonight who are going to have a little bit of a hard time falling asleep tonight in anticipation of what is awaiting them in the morning. For others, Christmas can be a difficult time. Now, this is the second Christmas after my sister Kathy died, and there is no doubt we miss her. And there's a big hole that we all feel, and in fact, all the more during the holidays. And perhaps you know how it feels if you've lost a loved one recently. The holidays can be a constant reminder that, yes, this person is no longer here. And for many others, Christmas can be, sadly, a painful time. Broken and dysfunctional families are faced with the reality that things are not the way they're supposed to be. It's painful when the family can't all be together because of relational conflict or because of divorce or separation. It can also be painful when perhaps out of obligation, you have to spend tomorrow afternoon with that person. Whether it be that, don't look around. You know, whether it be with that obnoxious uncle or that very controlling in-law or that just annoying nephew. Not that I'm speaking from my own experience. I love all my nieces and nephews. But the good news is that because Jesus was born, because you have a Savior, you don't have to be controlled by all these other circumstances that we face in life. Through faith and repentance in Jesus Christ the Lord, you have a hope for the future that actually transforms you right now in the present. Hope is one of those interesting words. As I started thinking about it, it's like one of those words like love. You know, love, I can love pizza and I can love my wife. Two very different types of love, but yet we use the same word to describe it. Well, hope is similar in that it can express simply a desire, I hope I get a new bike for Christmas. But at the same time, hope can also describe a drive within you that is so deep and so powerful that it enables you to undergo the worst and most severe circumstances and to persevere through them. In Scripture, hope is often used as an indication of certainty. It is a confident assurance of something you expect in the future, but yet do not have at the present. But you expect it so certainly that your hope is sure. In Romans 8:24, it says that no one hopes for something they already have. So hope is something that is yet out there. You're still waiting for it. But at the same time, it controls the way that you live and act today. It has to. For example, I heard a story of two different men who had just been captured, thrown into a dungeon, and sentenced to 10 years of hard labor. However, just before getting captured, the first guy found out that his wife and his children were dead. Whereas the second guy, just before he was captured, found out that his wife and his children are alive, and they're waiting for him. I'm sure you can figure out how the rest of the story goes. In just a couple of years, the first man withered away and died before finishing his sentence. Whereas the other man, he endured. He stayed strong, and he walked out a free man 10 years later. That is the power of hope. Both of these men had the same sentence. Both of them faced the same circumstances, but they faced it differently because of what they believed about their future, of what they believed they were going to receive later on. And for the second man, his hope of reuniting with his family in the future transformed his attitudes and his actions in the present. And it's the same way for those who believe the Christmas message. If you know you have a Savior, if you know what awaits you in the future, this confident assurance has to transform you. It transforms your attitudes and your actions right now. And also, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, how much more do you have a secure hope than even the man in the story I just told? For the security of your hope is only as strong as its object. For example, suppose you have a car that's prone to break down quite often, but you still say, I hope my car makes it to Michigan this winter. Well, with that car being the object of your hope, that may not be a very secure hope. In fact, it may be very futile and, quite frankly, a false hope. But with Jesus as the object of your hope, it is secure. It's guaranteed. Psalm 25, verse 3 says, no one whose hope in you will ever be put to shame. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. In Hebrews 6:16 says, hope in Jesus is an anchor for the soul that is firm and secure. So if Jesus is the object of your hope, what is it that is still yet in the future? What are we waiting for but do not yet fully possess? Well, in short, we hope for the fullness of our salvation. We sung about it in so many of those hymns just a few minutes ago. We know that since Jesus came once, his first advent, as Scripture even foretold he would do, we have a confident assurance that he will come a second time, just as he promised he would do. And we are waiting for the fullness of our salvation. During his first advent, Jesus came born as a baby in Bethlehem, as we've read about tonight. Also during his first advent, he accomplished salvation for all of God's people, even as the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, a Savior has been born to you. And so this baby born in a manger died on a cross and rose from the grave so that anyone who believes in him will be saved. And if you have acknowledged your need for a Savior, and if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, Scripture says you are saved. Think past tense, already done. Through faith in Jesus, when you trusted in him, you were immediately forgiven of all your sins. You were immediately declared to be righteous in God's sight. You were immediately adopted as a son or daughter of God. It's finished. Nothing else can ever change that. And at the same time, Scripture speaks of your salvation as a process. You are being saved. Think present tense. And so though you are forgiven and declared to be righteous in God's sight, as I'm sure those who know you can fully attest, you still struggle with sin. You are not yet perfect. However, you are filled with the Holy Spirit who sanctifies you. In other words, the Holy Spirit helps you or enables you to become who you already are in Jesus Christ, an outwardly righteous child of God. He helps you to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. And that, by the way, is a lifelong process. And finally, Scripture also speaks of our salvation being in the future. The fullness of our salvation is yet to come. But there is a day that is coming when Jesus will return. That will be his second advent. But instead of coming as a humble baby in a manger, he will come as the resurrected, triumphant King of kings and Lord of lords. He will once and for all defeat all of your enemies, Satan, sin, and death. And when he returns, you will no longer struggle with sin. There will be no more broken families, no more pain, no more death. Jesus will make everything right. He will bring heaven down to this earth, and we will, with resurrected bodies, live with God and one another in perfect community. Can you imagine what that will be like? With joy and with love forever. If Jesus is your Savior, you are saved now. But the best is yet to come. If you know what awaits you in the future, this hope transforms your attitudes and your actions right now. Your hope in Jesus gives you the capacity to endure all circumstances. And this hope, because it is secure, it can never be crushed. No one can take that hope away from you. And so that means that you will have strength and endurance to make it through this Christmas. Strength and endurance to make it through any situation you encounter. You will have strength and endurance, even though a dear loved one may no longer be living, or even though your family can't all be together because of broken relationships, conflict, separation, or divorce, or even though your family has to be together despite our complete dysfunction. Well, this hope in Jesus gives you the ability to be patient with that obnoxious uncle, to be respectful to that very controlling in-law, and to be loving towards that annoying nephew. This hope in Jesus gives you joy this Christmas because one day he will make all things right. So let's live in light of that truth. Will you pray with me? Father God, we do praise you, and we thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you that he will come back, and he will make everything right. Will you strengthen us with hope that we can endure any and all situations or circumstances to your glory, because we know what is awaiting us in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this time, Grace is going to play another piece on the cello, and our ushers will come forward and we'll light your candles going down the main aisle. And as John said, be sure to tilt only the unlit candles.
Let's stand and turn to number 210, Silent Night. And Danny will lead us with the music, the first verse, and then we'll sing the last three verses a cappella.
Amen. We invite all of you to return and worship our Savior, Jesus Christ, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And for now, enjoy your evenings and receive the benediction. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, with the obedience of Joseph, with the eagerness of the shepherds, determination of the Magi. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.